Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We're supposed to be doing a show with Dr. Milana Morgenstern. I think that she's actually online now. Hold on one second. Which would make my life a lot easier because you don't have to listen to me.
I need to fix...
Hello, can you hear me?
Edit name.
Hello, Dr. Morgenstern.
I can hear you. The problem is I'm outside. I'm entering now in the elevator.
Okay, well, when you get inside, just reconnect, okay?
Yes, just 2 minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's better than I had hoped for. I didn't think she was going to make it. We've been trying to reach her. I've been calling her. She's in Israel. Obviously, there's a time difference. So we'll give her a little time to get set up in her flat and get back to us. It's going to be a good show. Before we do anything else, I have to thank my title sponsor, Legendary Foods. Eatlegendary.com. Use the code SHR10 for 10% off the entire line. People love their nut butters. The nut butters taste like they're no good for you. My allergies are just killing me today. Everything is starting to fall off the trees now, so it's all ending up in my nose. People tell me all the time that the nut butters taste like they're no good for you because they taste sweet. You would think there's a ton of sugar in them, but there's not. Eatlegendary.com, SHR10, 10% off the entire line. By using that code, you not only save 10%, but you tell them that you're a fan of Superhuman Radio. So check it out. You know, I've been talking about the importance of vitamin D in this COVID epidemic since March. Before anybody else, I wrote a very well thought out study. Some people thought it was too technical, that showed that 25 hydroxy D levels and LL37 levels, which both happen in tandem when you raise vitamin D levels, cholecalciferol, have both a protective effect against even getting the virus, but also greater likelihood that you'll live through it. And now science is proving it. When we get Dr. Morgenstern on, she's going to talk about a study that her group did where they looked at this information and found a connection between the protective benefits of 25-hydroxy-OHD, that people didn't catch the virus. This is really interesting. And so we'll talk to her in just a minute when she gets it set up. Later in the show, we're going to talk about a unique approach to osteoarthritis that nobody's talking about. A lot of people think osteoarthritis is just from mechanical loading of the body. It's not. And now we found a new player in not only preventing osteoarthritis, but possibly reversing it. And I have some interesting questions for the scientist. You'll figure it out once we get started where I'm going with it. Of course, you can always post any of your questions while we're doing the show, and we'll work them into the show, I promise you that. And then, also tomorrow, we have a great show of Fathers and Sons. It's a new series that I started. Ben Greenfield will be my first guest. And we're going to talk about raising boys in this world today. Men are under assault. I don't care who you talk to. It's true. More men are institutionalized, in jail, addicted to drugs and alcohol, commit suicide, and something is happening to men. It starts when they're boys. A lot of people point to fatherless homes as being a big contributor. What about fathers who actually take part in raising their children? How do they do it? What do they do differently? What do they want to achieve? And so Ben Greenfield is going to be our first guest tomorrow. We have Mark Bell lined up. We have several big names. Chris Duffin, I believe. from Kabuki Strength. We've got a bunch of people that I admire, and they have boys, and they are raising strong boys to be strong men, which is contrary today. Raising a boy that doesn't need a safe space because someone says something hurtful. That series starts tomorrow. Don't miss that. Sorry, I'm having to clear my throat a lot today. Also, if the show has ever done anything good for you, I would like you to go to the URL tap.bio/superhumanradio and upload your video and tell me in 3 minutes or less your personal Superhuman Radio story, how the show has helped you. I'd appreciate it if you did that. My guest is here. Hold on a second. Let me get it back on here. How are you, Dr.
Hello.
Cern? Hello, hello, hello. How are
nice
you?
Nice to meet you.
Yes, nice to meet you.
I'm fine. I'm fine.
So,
recently in the hotel on the Sea of Galilee.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, let's
have some vitamin D.
Yeah, no, vitamin D. So we're big fans of vitamin D. In fact, I wrote an article in March of this year about the protective effects of vitamin D against retroviruses. And so vitamin D is very important. But I think your research is even better than a lot of the stuff that I've read. So before we get into your specific research, tell me a little bit about why. What research was out there already that you felt compelled to do this paper?
Yes, so I can I can start from who I am. I'm Dr. Morgenstern. I did my PhD in the Weizmann Institute of Science in Israel. I did my postdoctoral studies in the Weizmann, first of all, and then I went to the Spanish National Cancer Research Center. And my expertise is computational biology and complex diseases. So from March 9, 2020, my lab in the Azrieli Faculty of Medicine of the Bar-Ilan University, we all decided to dedicate ourselves, our expertise, to the COVID-19 studies. And then we started to use computational biology for different studies. And one of the studies was using members, patients, real patients, from the Leumi health system in Israel. This is a health insurance organization, and they have about 500,000 of users and then customers. And they got 22 COVID tested patients. So together with my friend, Dr. Eugene Merzon, we did study. But that compared basic parameters from the blood tests of COVID positive versus COVID negative patients. And we found very interesting that low vitamin D is independent risk factor for COVID-19 positive, to be positive. So we studied if vitamin D is a risk factor to be infected and to be hospitalized because of COVID-19. This was our study, actually. So, in this study, we took all tested patients, and we got 782 COVID-19 positive Israeli patients, and more than 7,000 of COVID-19 negative. So it's very important just to compare blood tests of these patients and understand the risk factors. And we found vitamin D, low vitamin D, less than 20 nanograms per ml. Mm. This is deficiencies of vitamin D is a risk factor for COVID-19 severity and hospitalization. Okay? So now we are doing a few more studies. Why? Why it's this parameter is so important? And also if it's connected to UV exposure or supplements or age and any other factors. This is very interesting.
So yes. In my early research into vitamin D, I looked at a couple interesting studies that I'm sure you're familiar with. One of them was actually done in a SARS-CoV model, and they showed that in humans, a bolus injection of vitamin D, cholecalciferol, increased serum 25-OHD levels and stopped the replication of a retrovirus. So could it be that the reason that the high level of vitamin D found in the non-positive patients was actually a result of they may have been exposed, but they just didn't get infected because the high levels of vitamin D stopped them from actually being infected in the first place?
Right. This is a good question. If vitamin D itself is like a treatment for COVID-19 and also, let's say, some preservation method, let's mm-hmm. say, for not be infected. Everybody is asking me about that, right? Because it's obviously a first question what arises. But actually, I can tell you, we don't know from our study if would vitamin D itself be a protective measure. We don't know because we did not make any randomized trial studies. We did observational studies. Observation studies, this means we just compared a group of positive and negative, and we saw a difference. Now, this is a first step. Next step will be to test, indeed, if we take vitamin D or hyperdoses of vitamin D and see any difference between the patients. This obviously will be a next step for such a study. Yes, we are doing a few studies in connection to vitamin D. One of them, this is experimental testing and randomized studies, and another, this is using different countries' measures and see how it's changed during the days, during the seasons. This is very interesting. I cannot tell immediately right now, but in principle, might be in a few months we can have more experience about that because the problem with this virus is really, the testing and the data we have, it's just less than 1 year. We can speculate. But I cannot tell for sure.
Right.
I can tell you for sure that vitamin D in general, is antiviral. It's antiviral protection. Has an antiviral
so,
protection. People having a good level of vitamin D, they are protected from viruses in some extent.
And I really think that exposure to the sun is better than just taking vitamin D, because exposure to the sun also increases activation of the melanocortin stimulating hormone production and the melanocortin system, which has its own host of antiviral benefits. But getting back to the 25-hydroxy, there is a peptide that is produced as a downstream metabolite of 25-OHG. It's called LL37.
This is
a human cathelicidin. It's antiviral. It's antimicrobial. And in some cases, it's even antifungal. And LL37 goes up when 25-hydroxy goes up. And one of the studies in HIV that showed that supplementing with vitamin D orally raised LL37 and suppressed replication of the HIV virus. Do you think that there is a connection to LL37 as far as how it is affecting SARS-CoV-2?
Yeah, actually, this is a good question because, there is a lot of speculation about some coding properties of these coronaviruses and HIV. We also have some interesting study submitted in the FEBS journal, and we are waiting a peer review. There is some interesting connection to this RNA virus, too. You are right, might be there is vitamin D protective effects through this pathway. But also I will tell you that vitamin D is cofactor of many other vitamins like vitamin B12 and iron. Because of the vitamin D receptor in the stomach, they activate also the vitamin B2 elevation in the body and iron protection. So these, I think, vitamin D is very complex, participate in very, very complex system as immunomodulator and chemo protection. This is why I think in general, supplements is good, but you are right. Maybe exposure to the sun may regulate much well vitamin D production in the body. But I would say the sun bath, going to sun regularly every day for 30 minutes when you have a good sun exposure, 60% of your body, not be burned out, and then you can have a nice vitamin D production in the body. In general, this might be good for your health and immunoprotection. Interestingly, I would say that we are living now in the century when we are many times sitting inside the buildings, in the cars, and we're not exposed enough to the sun in general. So we need to pay attention. This is one of the ways to have a healthy lifestyle, to be exposed for a particular time to the sun. Not to burn out, but go out for 30 minutes every day, at least during the sun, summertime, at least during the summertime, every day, 30 minutes, and be exposed to the sun, 60% of your body. This will be doing vitamin D production, actually, and regulated by your enough your vitamin D level by your body itself. Because if you take supplements, this is good, but it's not regulated.
Well, Dr. Morgenstern, did you happen to ask in the cohort that had the highest level of vitamin serum D3, 25-OHD, at that 7,025, did anyone ask them, did they take supplements or did they go in the sun? Were we able to determine if they were actually sun worshippers or they were taking supplements?
Yeah, this is a good question. We are doing now this analysis because some people from the age of 65, some doctors advise to take a vitamin D supplement. Some doctors, it's not overall, but medical organizations already from June 10th advised to patients in general to take vitamin D also against COVID-19. This is really interesting. This is really interesting. Medical associations already gave this advice, but it was not so published in the media. But I can tell you that some doctors indeed advise, and this is maybe why we didn't see a risk factor for aging in our study. It was really, really interesting. Because because we ask a question if indeed aging 65 plus may be a risk factor for COVID-19. And in our study, we saw actually 50 plus. And an interesting peak in around 25 and in around 50. And we understood maybe it's because of social habits. Mm-hmm. They are very social in this age. But because of supplements, because of supplements, 65 plus, some of them receive supplements. And this is indeed why we didn't see the difference.
So
you are right. Maybe because of supplements.
Yeah, I mean, supplements clearly work. When you look at the research, yes, of the effectiveness of raising 25 OHD levels against a variety of disease states, most of that research is done through supplementation, whether it's oral or injected vitamin D3. But I want to go back and I want to emphasize something, because this is really an interesting thing, because we're told in the media every day that, you know, comorbidities. But the reality is that when you teased out for comorbidities like dementia, like cardiovascular disease, even chronic lung disease, there was a greater correlation to 25 OHD levels than presence of those comorbidities, right? Is that correct?
Exactly, yes. This is was very interesting to see these comorbidities. Comorbidities was our goal, to see and understand who was in the risk. But interestingly, that vitamin D was independent risk factor from all the comorbidities. And surprisingly, we saw comorbidities like lung disorders, cardiovascular and chronic diseases were reduced in COVID positive. And then we started to ask ourselves, what can be an explanation for such effects, what we see? And actually, this is really interesting. We understood probably, we can speculate again, this is not randomized studies, but we can speculate that because of lockdown in this time in Israel, these patients were very much afraid to go out, and they really, it was a good thing for these comorbidities and patients in risk. They indeed stay at home and they reduce their risk factor. This is interesting that for chronic diseases, lockdowns or staying at home and being close areas, this is indeed a good way to protect themselves.
Right.
To protect themselves. But if we ask about healthy people, what is the risk factor for healthy people? What is usually don't go to the doctors, don't make a lot of tests, such a healthy, in parentheses, people. They don't know about chronic diseases. For these people, but still socializing a lot, like around 25 years old, around 50, still socializing a lot. These people should understand that vitamin D protection for them going very well. So if they would like to stay social active, they still need to preserve the vitamin D level, what is also connected to vitamin A, vitamin B12, and iron, at least, okay? So I would still advise for these people, take sun, solar baths, go outside, and be exposed to sun. Or take supplements in the, yes, the winter time. Yes.
Yes. And you know, that's when everybody gets sick in the winter time. You know, there's a great study about viral spread in Brazil, because Brazil is about the size of the U.S., but the northernmost portion of it is right on the equator, and the southernmost portion is very far away from the equator. And the cities are in the north. and the farmland is in the south. And the interesting thing about that is that viruses spread the most in cities and the least in the rural areas. It's the opposite, because in Brazil, the sun is out all the time in the cities. The virus is spread in the south, in the rural areas. This shows the relationship between sun exposure, 25-OHD, and viral spread.
Yeah, it might be again. We didn't make these studies, but I can tell you a secret.
Okay.
We are doing such a study right now, because we took many countries in north and south hemisphere, and we calculated this exposure to UV, and we calculated also the connection. This is all a mathematical formula. We can calculate if somebody is going outside, how vitamin D is produced. Again, it's a calculation, but it's just to evaluate the level. Actually, nobody is going outside, but tells the truth. We stay at home. This is better with air conditioner. Yeah. Right. And people ask me, this is interesting. But in Florida, in Texas, look, it's bad values there. But guys, are you going outside?
Tell me
the truth. Are you going outside?
Right.
No, this thing is air conditioner. This is perfect, right?
Right.
But this is the point. Take this point.
Get out. Get out in the sun. Just because you live in a sunny climate doesn't mean you're being exposed
just
to the sun.
Just because you are living in the sun is not saying about you personal exposure to the sun.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
You are living in the sun, but you stay in air conditioning. Remember this.
I wanna take a commercial break, and when we come back, I have more questions for you. We're talking with Dr. Milana Morgenstern, and she is with the Bar Ilan University in Israel. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
Thank you.
Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carb, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon.
Quest Nutrition makes bars, cookies, chips, and pizzas out of complete dairy-based proteins. Our products minimize net carbs and sugar without sacrificing taste. Each delicious chocolate-flavored chip, cookie chunk, and crunchy crumble is custom-made to maintain Quest macros. It's time to enjoy foods that work for you, not against you. It's time to enjoy your Quest.
Among the easiest and most popular ways to experience the life-altering benefits of hemp, Planet Earth CBD soft gels offer fast-acting effects as they release quickly. Made in a GMP-compliant, US FDA-registered facility, you can count on Planet Earth's safe soft gels. These soft gels provide temporary relief from pain and so much more. Manufactured with the calming combination of chamomile and melatonin, you got yourself a long-needed CBD solution. 25 milligrams of nano-emulsified hemp extract per serving with anti-inflammatory agency. Planet Earth sleep-supporting soft gels will have you forgetting about today's worries for a better tomorrow. Unwind with Planet Earth CBD today.
Select Savory Snacks Original Biltong is the healthier alternative to sugar-laden beef jerky. Their sugar-free biltong is seasoned and then air-dried for up to 2 weeks, providing you with one of the most tender and flavorful meat snacks that you've ever had. They also use a fattier cut of beef, which adds to the tenderness and gives their biltong even better flavor. Select Savory Snacks Original Biltong is the perfect snack or travel companion for your busy life. Get a free meat snack sample pack with every order of $75 or more. Get yours today at selectsavorysnacks.com/SHR. Use code SHR free. You've heard me talk about the chill pill on the show and how effective it is at helping people who suffer from social anxiety, or sometimes when you just want to take the edge off to a long, stressful day. Well, listen to this story from Dylan Goutreau.
Definitely takes anxiety away, which I have a long history of. having. Started out at 2 milligrams a day of Xanax. That was at 8 years old. And so I stopped using benzos 3 years ago. Extremely difficult. Yeah, so I spent about 3 years trying to find anything and everything I could that would be healthy for me to help with anxiety. Because I'm talking, you know, full out panic attack. The chill pill was the first thing that I've found that actually in the middle of a panic attack I can take, and it definitely subsides.
Go to drseeds.com. That's drseeds.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your first bottle of the chill pill. Check it out. I promise this is one supplement that delivers. Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000, or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to RedconOne.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number one.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Milana.
Hi.
Hello. Well, welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Milana Morgenstern. She is with the Bar Ilan University in Israel. We're talking about a recent paper they published that correlated those with the lowest vitamin D levels and the incidence of COVID infection versus those with the highest vitamin D levels and the incidence of COVID infection. And it was really a statistically important paper because it showed that the people who had the highest vitamin D status didn't have the virus. What was the average?
No, I can tell you. They got the virus, but the severity of the disease was reduced. This means instead of having, let's say, 30 days of the disease, they might be even asymptomatic. This you need to take in mind, because even if you catch COVID-19 because you are close to an infected person, to reduce severity of your disease, you need to have good vitamin D level, not C. Usually people, take vitamin C.
Yeah, no, vitamin C, that, we don't talk about that. So vitamin
But this is different, this is different.
Right.
Vitamin C, actually, you can receive easily from the food. If you drink, let's say, orange juice or lemon juice, you can easily receive vitamin C. But vitamin D, you cannot receive from food. It's very hard to find food rich in vitamin D.
Right.
Usually, people living on the north of Europe, in Norway, and the Scandinavian countries, they can receive enough of food because they have a lot. They eat a lot of fish. They eat a lot of red fish, salmon, and all this. They enriched in vitamin D, but not we are not eating same kind of food, and our production in vitamin D can be only as a sun exposure. This is why it's so important to put attention on this. This is different. Vitamin D is soluble in oil, not in water, like vitamin C. Vitamin C is easy to be dissolved in water, and then we can drink easily. But vitamin D is oil.
Soluble, right.
Solvent.
Right.
Yeah. This is why...
So what,
it's also a complication to make a good supplement. Pay attention on this.
In the 7,000 plus group that had the higher levels of vitamin D, what was the average blood levels of 25-OHD?
Yeah, actually, you can. I can tell you that the difference was below the deficiency level and above deficiency level.
That was it, huh?
So,
that was the difference.
Yeah, this is really interesting because below deficiency level, you already have a lot of problems also with calcium and metabolites, and you have a lot of problems with bones, you have a lot of problems with immune system. So this is people with deficiency, they slowly receive effects of these deficiencies. You know, they develop a lot of symptoms.
Right.
And above deficiency level, this is, you can persist this, but not for a long time.
Right.
But I can tell you the truth is that vitamin D deficiency is a recent pandemic.
Yes.
Pandemic. So 70% of white people, adult white people, they have reduced vitamin D level. Yes. And black people, they're even worse.
Right.
95%.
Right.
So this is where you need to pay attention. So we are all, even myself, you know, I measured, I went to the doctor and measured my level of vitamin D in the blood,
right,
just in case to see if I'm okay. And I find myself below the normal. So even me, what I know about vitamin D, and I go to the sun and I take vitamins from time to time, still. So you see how easily you can be below optimal level, really easily. And
right,
then you don't see it. You don't see the difference, you don't feel the difference, but it's slowly, you metabolize, your metabolism is reduced.
Right.
And then you start slowly increase your weight and all around. But you don't understand what is vitamin D, because it's not a regular test. They don't test it regularly. You come and they give you. No?
Right.
You need to ask.
Right. That's how it is here in the United States. If you don't go and ask your doctor to check your vitamin D level, they don't. It's not standard anymore. It's more and more doctors are starting. More doctors are starting to check it as a standard lab test when you go for your annual lab work. But it's few and far between. So, what are you doing? Have you started? Have you started supplementing with vitamin D since you found out your levels were low?
Yeah, actually what I did, it was a winter time, I took supplements, but separate supplements of vitamin D, because as I said, it's all only dissolved. Then you take only separate vitamin D supplements. If you take all together multiple vitamins, forgot about it.
Yeah, there's nothing in there.
I'm telling you, it's not so easy, okay? Yeah. Take just vitamin D, precisely vitamin D, and the company, you know, is good quality, okay? Okay, now, but summertime, remember, go to sun, just like exercise. Just like exercise, you go.
Exercise in the sun.
I decided 12 p.m.
Exercise in the sun.
Exercise. I go 30 minutes outside.
Right. And the other thing
but
is
don't be burned off. You can put a bit, small amount of sun protection, but not too much. If you take
most of the sun blocks stop vitamin D production. But more importantly, when we talk about vitamin D, we're talking about cholecalciferol, vitamin D3, because lots of foods are fortified with vitamin D2. This does not raise 25-OHD levels. So you have to make sure that if you are taking vitamin D, that it's a vitamin D3 supplement. And if you're taking 5,000 IUs, 10,000 IUs, whatever it is you're taking it, you must take it with a fatty meal. If you don't take it with a fatty meal, there's evidence that 70% of it won't be absorbed. If you take it with a meal that has fat in it, almost all of it will be absorbed by the body and be effective. So that's another thing. Don't take an oil-based vitamin D on an empty stomach and think it's doing anything for you. Also, one other thing that I learned.
Not to take too much, because, you know, this is hyper vitamin D exposure during supplements is not so good, because you can increase your calcium production and then you can have a side effect. So be, you know, very pragmatic, not too much, not too low. And then better I advise always to go to your doctor and have a nice advice. Make you test. You test. If you are good, not take anything. Because, you know, people, they do thinking, you know, how to say it. They are, okay, I take multivitamins, it will be good. No, it's not good.
Right.
If you take too much something, you reduce your protection.
Right.
If you don't need vitamin D, don't take vitamin D.
Right.
If you don't need other vitamins, don't take them. Why? I can explain why. Because all these supplements, they can damage your liver. It can damage your liver. It can damage your thyroid production, because thyroid is very much sensitive for different kind of material like supplement. Okay, don't take anything if you don't need it. Mm-hmm. Test first of all. Test for your vitamin D level.
Right,
and then receive a professional advice from the medical doctor what to take and how much to take. This is important, extremely important. Okay.
Yeah, so vitamin D tests are widespread available here in the United States. There's a lot of places where you can go and get them. They're blood spot tests. You prick your finger. It's a Wattman blotter.
Yeah.
You send it in. They give it to you. The accepted range for most people is between 40 and 80 nanograms a liter, I believe.
Nanogram
and
ml.
Milliliter.
If you have 40 nanogram in ml, then you don't need any supplements. Don't take supplements. And I don't advise to take any.
And I personally think that just get sun, because the body regulates vitamin D production as it needs it. If you get too much sun,
yes,
the body destroys the cholecalciferol in the skin before it goes to the liver and becomes 25-OHD. So the body has a negative feedback loop that it says, oh, I don't want any more. This is good. So the sun is really the best way to get your vitamin D. So what do you hope clinicians and lay people take away from this recent research, Dr. Morgenstern?
Actually, many people asking us about this research, and we got a lot of interviews around the world. because pay attention to this small thing. It's really important. Yes. Because you need to understand how your immune protection is dissolved, produced, and healthy lifestyle also include vitamin D, normal level of vitamin D. This we forgot about it.
Right.
Forgot. This is why many people asking us about this study.
So tell me about Israel real quick. How does Israel have a big outbreak of COVID-19?
Actually, in Israel, we got around 20,000 positive around February to April, exactly of our study period. And now we got another 60,000. So what I can tell you that this particular virus is not seasonal like flu. Flu starting from October to around May, and then we are fine. But this virus, coronavirus, seems to be really nice in the summer.
Right.
Even with UV and vitamin D, we see a lot of cases of coronavirus. This means it's not seasonal virus. It's not seasonal. It can be really nice during all the time around the year. But what we can tell a bit, small difference, we see again. This is just speculation because we still didn't publish any study, but we are working. That there is a difference in severity of this disease during the summertime. Probably because vitamin D is better.
Right.
But, we are doing right now comparison to understand if still, after some exposure, because we cannot tell how much people exposed.
Right.
We cannot tell. If they sit in the
unless they're dark like me. See, I'm out in the sun all the time. I love the sun. See, I ride my motorcycle.
Me too. Now I am going with my kids to beach, especially to get some sun. And we sit on the beach and we try to get some sun. But still, people not going too much outside because it's hot. It's a problem because we don't like to be outside with the hot weather. You know, I agree with this situation because better to have a nice climatization system. But just taking in mind that, remember what your grandparents say, you go outside, stay outside. Do you remember this still? So this is important.
Yeah, no, I agree. Dr. Morgenstern, I want to thank you so much for making time to come on the show today.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure meeting
Take
you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Online. Thank you so much.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Dr. Bruce Cronstein. He's got an interesting angle on working with people who have osteoarthritis. This is a really, really, really going to be a really interesting interview, especially for those of us who... We know what ATP is, right? Because we go to the gym, we train, we want to enhance ATP turnover and all that sort of good stuff. And, well, apparently there's a relationship between ATP and chondrocytes. And I guess it's not surprising because everything needs energy, right? So stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Here we go.
Unlock your potential with the best cognitive enhancement and anti-aging supplements on the market. PureNootropics.net goes the extra mile for the highest quality ingredients, third-party tested to make sure you only receive the best your money can buy. There's no better choice with their money-back guarantee and free shipping. Try their best-selling DHM. Dihydromyrcetin prevents hangovers and helps deliver detox after a night of drinking. Get your DHM and other nootropics and longevity supplements from PureNootropics.net, the purest supplement around.
I love beef. And if you love beef, listen up. I've discovered the best tasting beef in the world, and that's not an exaggeration, at Piedmontese.com. The Piedmontese breed is famous from Italy for being lean and unbelievably tender with half the fat and calories of traditional beef. Even typically tough cuts are tender when it comes from the Piedmontese cows. And for the first time ever, Piedmontese cows are being raised here in the USA. Get 25% off all beef and free shipping on orders of $100 or more at Piedmontese.com with code SHR. Go to Piedmontese.com and use code SHR today. You will never eat any other type of beef ever again. Chronic stress leaves us tired, distracted, and physically vulnerable. Apollo Neuro is here to help you take control. Apollo Neuro is a new wearable that trains your nervous system to be more resilient to stress. Apollo's gentle vibrations use your sense of touch to help you recover from stress, going from fight or flight to rest and digest so you can relax, get to sleep, focus, and stay healthy. Developed by physicians and neuroscientists, Apollo Neuro has been tested in multiple clinical trials and is proven to improve heart rate variability, the key biometric of stress. Special offer for friends of Superhuman Radio. Try Apollo Neuro today and get 15% off your purchase at apolloneuro.com/superhuman. That's apolloneuro.com/superhuman. Are you still on the fence about Body Protection Complex BPC Oral from DrSeeds.com? Listen to Maggie Kuhn, one of the owners of the C-Bus Lifting Company gym in Columbus, Ohio.
I had been having some nagging tendon issues that weren't injuries, just things that were annoying. You know, I'm 58 years old, so just older tendon kind of issues. For us powerlifters, you know, we really don't stop training when we have just nagging issues. We just kind of keep pushing through. And I started the BPC. What I noticed was I was doing some heavy tricep stuff that would have killed me before when I had an elbow problem, and I was able to do those with literally no pain at all.
Go to DrSeeds.com, DrSeeds.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your bottle of BPC Body Protection Complex today.
Everybody wants to feel better, be healthier, and happier. If you don't sweat profusely on a regular
regular basis, you won't feel as good as you could. Studies have shown the power of infrared sauna. Infrared penetrates 1 to 2 inches into the body. It helps those with back pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, depression, and anxiety. Patients get relief from infrared sauna. The Good Health Sauna has been shown to be an exercise mimetic, conveying many of the same benefits as cardio. There are a lot of reasons people buy a Good Health Sauna, but the bottom line is you will be a much happier, healthier person by using the Good Health Sauna every day. You'll crave it, you'll love it, and it will be the best purchase you have ever made. Good Health Saunas provide commercial-grade saunas for in-home and commercial use, backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. Unmatched customer service and the best financing makes owning one easy and will fit any budget. Go to goodhealthsauna.com/superhumanradio to learn more and save 25% off.
Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carbs, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. And we're being joined, did I pronounce your name properly, Dr. Bruce Cronstein?
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. I hear bells in the background, I think. Are those wind chimes?
I'm sitting outside and there are wind chimes here. So.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's peaceful.
They are.
I feel like we should be
quite
meditating. We should be meditating instead. And this is perfect because we just did a show about the importance of vitamin D in fighting COVID-19, and you're out there getting your vitamin D naturally. So that's wonderful. Wonderful. Welcome to the show. So, Dr. Cronstein, tell me, what made you look at this molecule, ATP, as it relates to arthritis? Was there preceding research that kind of put you onto this?
Well, it's not so much the ATP as one of the metabolites of ATP, adenosine. I've been working on adenosine and adenosine receptors for practically 40 years. And the source of adenosine is ATP. ATP is, in addition to acting as a fuel source, it's exported from cells, and it acts as a both directly on its own receptors on the cell surface, as well as some of it is broken down to adenosine at the surface of the cell. So you were mentioning the gym as you before, and ATP is a fuel. But one of the things that adenosine does is that when you go to the gym and you start exercising, you notice that you get vasodilation. Your muscles get bigger. You get red around the areas that have been exercising. And that's all due to adenosine, which is produced as a result of breakdown of the ATP, you know, for use as fuel. So ATP is obviously, it's present everywhere. One of the things that happens in osteoarthritis is that your cells no longer make as much ATP. The mitochondria, which makes ATP, are sick. They're not sick, but they're less productive, and as a result, there's less adenosine around. And we, a couple of years ago, actually more like 6 or 7 years ago, discovered that adenosine and one of its receptors is critical for maintaining, the health of chondrocytes. These are the cells that make cartilage, and this came out of this actually all came out of Hurricane Sandy, because we lost our mouse facility at NYU, with the exception of a couple of cages, and we had these mice that were lacking this particular receptor. We noticed a number of things over the years, including the fact that the mice lacking this receptor the male mice were no longer fertile after a few months of age, and those are basically young adults. So we looked at their knees, and it turned out that they had spontaneous osteoarthritis, and we showed that adenosine is important, acting at this receptor to maintain the chondrocytes. And there's other supporting evidence from people with genetic abnormalities of some of the enzymes involved. So that's how we got involved with ATP and adenosine and osteoarthritis. And, that's kind of, as I said, we found out why the males weren't fertile, because their knees hurt. So for mice, that seemed to be critical in terms of their willingness to breed. Didn't seem to bother the females as much.
Okay, so this opens up a whole line of questions.
So there are other functions of ATP.
This opens up a whole line of questions that I'm wondering if you've been asked already. So the reason that we use caffeine as an ergogenic is that it reduces adenosine's accumulation. It's why we don't sleep well when we use lots of caffeine, because adenosine accumulates and creates a sleep, a desire to sleep. What is caffeine's role in the reduction of adenosine in this model of osteoarthritis?
So we haven't tried caffeine per se. We've tried more specific adenosine receptor blocking agents, which is what caffeine does. And we can block the effect of adenosine with these agents. Now, remember, when you take caffeine, in most people, the half-life is maybe a couple of hours. And, in some people, it's longer. And so you're not blocking it totally all the time. So, I don't think anybody's looked necessarily at the relationship to caffeine ingestion and development of osteoarthritis. If there's anything there, it would be to promote osteoarthritis. As I mentioned, one of the supporting elements in our theory or to our hypothesis is that people lacking the enzymes that convert ATP to adenosine at the cell surface, those people develop a variety of problems, mostly vascular, but they also develop premature osteoarthritis. So it takes a pretty severe lack of adenosine or blockade of adenosine.
So I'm going to leave the caffeine thing alone, because there's a lot more to that than we can discuss right now. But let's talk more about so we realize that and I know this is, we're talking about arthritis, but it's fascinating. I never understood until I started researching your paper the role of adenosine in vasodilation. And we have today neuropathies that are not diabetic in nature. They're not from advanced glycation. They are, in fact, from microvasculature shutting down. That shutdown stops feeding nerves. Those nerves become hyperalgesic first, and then they start to die off. And I'm wondering if what you've discovered here also is kind of in that mix of what we see metabolically out there in the world today. We have something going on with adenosine, maybe, that's not only contributing to the arthritis, but other metabolic issues we see widespread in the population today.
Yeah, I think that's possible. There are several receptors for adenosine on the cell surface. The A2A receptor is the one that we've been most actively looking at. It's a very potent vasodilator. The A2B receptor is a vasodilator as well, although it requires much higher concentrations of adenosine. And A2B receptors have been implicated one way or another in a variety of metabolic problems. The A2A receptor really hasn't been associated with the same metabolic abnormalities.
Okay.
But you know, it's entirely possible. There's another receptor, the A1 receptor, which directly acts on neurons. And in fact, in a really interesting paper from the Mayo Clinic, it turns out that if you're a mouse and you lack the adenosine A1 receptor, you're no longer capable of responding to acupuncture. And adenosine A1 receptors seem to block pain transmission. So, so there are lots of connections to neurons, neuronal health, and the vasculature with adenosine receptors.
Now, taking creatine monohydrate, which is a very popular ergogenic used by pretty much every gym rat in the world today, and it's been proven to be very, very safe, seems to contribute to ATP recycling. Is it possible that something as simple as creatine monohydrate could help fix this problem? Because your group looked at when supplementing or restoring adenosine, a lot of these chondrocyte effects started to reverse themselves, right?
Yes, that's correct. So it is possible. I can't speak to creatine in particular. We haven't looked at that. But one of the things that we've found is that at least in chondrocytes, if you are able to treat them with adenosine and adenosine A2A receptor agonists, that this can actually enhance the function of mitochondria. And the mitochondria are the cells which make the organelles within the cells that make the ATP, that make the fuel for your cells. And adenosine, as I said, acting at its receptor, seems to promote the health of these mitochondria. Whether creatine itself or downstream effects of creatine on ATP production would enhance or would improve your joints, I can't say. We haven't tested that specifically. We have given adenosine, as I mentioned, or as we showed in this paper, to both rats and mice with various forms of osteoarthritis. And one of the problems that you have to overcome with giving adenosine is that it has a very short half-life. Right. So it's ideal for something that acts as a vasodilator, after you've been to the gym, so that as soon as you stop exercising, the adenosine goes away, you no longer are vasodilated. But for other things that very short half-life can be a problem. We gave injections of adenosine, but we put it into a kind of long-acting form. We encapsulated it in lipids, or what are known as liposomes.
Right.
And liposomes have been around for a while, as I'm sure you're aware.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny.
It prolongs the life.
I learned about adenosine about 7 years ago when I thought that if I had intranasal adenosine that administered with intranasal melatonin, it would be a great sleep aid. Then I found out that adenosine is a drug. It can only be offered through prescription. And as you point out, it has an extremely short, effective half-life. And I thought, well, there goes that, that idea. But this is really fascinating to me because more and more research has come out over the past 5 or 6 years that is now putting to rest this notion that osteoarthritis is a mechanical loading disorder. That, if you're heavy, your knees are getting all this. But the reality is we're starting to learn a lot more about inflammation and its role. And because very heavy people get osteoarthritis in their hands and in their neck. And their heads really aren't that much heavier than the average head. So you have to ask yourself, well, I get the knees and the hips, but why the neck and the hands, And you have to go, well, maybe it's not a mechanical loading. I think that what your group has discovered is the most fascinating yet, because inflammation explains itself, right? It's going to destroy chondrocytes. So is there some sort of stacking effect or compounding effect? Does inflammation play a role in suppressing adenosine accumulation or production?
Actually, it does. We've shown that, particularly in cartilage. So if you load cartilage, normally it releases, if you put a load within the physiologic range onto cartilage, and we did this with rat knees, we could show that there's an increase in ATP release leading to an increase in extracellular adenosine levels. If you treat those knees with an inflammatory stimulus, you find that, in fact, if anything, the amount of ATP released and present in the cells declines. Mm. And so so that follows directly. I should also mention that the very first thing I ever did in the lab was to show that adenosine is anti-inflammatory and does so by via these same receptors that we mentioned for osteoarthritis. And so that's been around for a long time. We've shown that at least some of the actions of some of the agents used to treat rheumatoid arthritis and other inflammatory disease are mediated by adenosine as a result of the metabolic changes induced by those drugs. You're right. There's a connection there.
I want to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk about the enzyme that you spoke about that seems to upregulate the production of adenosine. And is there anything that people could be doing to improve on their own adenosine's biosynthesis? We're talking right now with Dr. Bruce Cronstein about a very interesting and, quite frankly, these kind of stories are fabulous to me because it points out things that may be in our control to change as it relates to osteoarthritis. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Did you know that your gut is referred to as your second brain? In fact, at least 90% of your serotonin, your happiness chemical, is created in your gut. If you don't take care of your gut, you won't feel good, period. Bioptimizers recently released Cognibiotics, a new breakthrough probiotic formula that is clinically proven to enhance your brain function, your mood, and overall mental health. Most probiotics often include conflicting strains or quantities and can cancel each other out. Cognibiotics delivers the exact strain you need in exactly the right ratios and quantities. With a 365-day no questions asked, money-back guarantee, you can try them out for yourself to start feeling the incredible difference Cognibiotics makes in your mood, mind, and performance. For an exclusive offer to my listeners, go to cognibiotics.com/SHR. That's cognibiotics.com/SHR and use code SHR10.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Among the easiest and most popular ways to experience the life-altering benefits of hemp, Planet Earth CBD soft gels offer fast-acting effects as they release quickly. Made in a GMP-compliant, US FDA-registered facility, you can count on Planet Earth's safe soft gels. These soft gels provide temporary relief from pain and so much more. Manufactured with the calming combination of chamomile and melatonin, you got yourself a long-needed CBD solution. 25 milligrams of nano-emulsified hemp extract per serving with anti-inflammatory agency, Planet Earth's sleep-supporting soft gels will have you forgetting about today's work for a better tomorrow. Unwind with Planet Earth CBD today.
Over 11 million people in the U.S. have some form of retinal damage, also known as macular degeneration. This is expected to double to nearly 22 million by 2050. Artificial blue light, age, type 2 diabetes are all contributors. Doctors say there's no cure. ARMD is changing that opinion. In one clinical trial, 93% of patients had arrested or improved their condition. 54% reported lessening of glare, reduced dryness, and improved clarity and comfort. And 0% felt worse during treatment. treatment and no side effects. Take control of your macular degeneration or keep it from ever occurring. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and get armed today. Are you still on the fence about Body Protection Complex BPC Oral from DrSeeds.com? Listen to Maggie Kuhn, one of the owners of the C-Bus Lifting Company gym in Columbus, Ohio.
I had been having some nagging tendon issues that weren't injuries, just things that were annoying. You know, I'm 58 years old, so just older tendon kind of issues. For us powerlifters, you know, we really don't stop training when we have just nagging issues. We just kind of keep pushing through. And I started the BPC. What I noticed was I was doing some heavy tricep stuff that would have killed me before when I had an elbow problem, and I was able to do this with literally no pain at all.
Go to DrSeeds.com, DrSeeds.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your bottle of BPC Body Protection Complex today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. I'm talking with Dr. Bruce Cronstein. We're talking about an interesting angle on treating osteoarthritis. It's fascinating to me, and it's exciting to me. It actually instills me with hope. Not for me. I don't have osteoarthritis, but there's a lot of people out there that do. And, you know, years ago I had a physician who's since passed on my show, probably about 11 years ago, who was doing intra-articular growth hormone injections and getting amazing results with getting chondrocytes to regenerate. But this is even more fascinating to me because it's not so, you know, outside the nine dots. Like, people hear the word growth hormone, they're like, oh, no, that's no good. I mean, this is a byproduct of everyday life, movement. Every time you use ATP, it spins off some adenosine. What can people do to increase adenosine production, Dr. Cronstein?
So that's an interesting question. I can tell you how one gets lower adenosine production.
Okay.
And then maybe we can try and figure out an approach there. So, again, this is not my work, but others have shown that that one of the contributing factors in postmenopausal osteoporosis, that is the loss of bone that that many women get after going through menopause, is results from loss of adenosine production in the bone or by the bone cells, and that this is a result of diminished expression of some of these enzymes involved in adenosine production from ATP. And it turns out that those enzymes are sensitive to female hormones if you give estrogen to cells and it leads to enhanced adenosine release, at least in the bone. So I think that's one approach. I'm not sure that would necessarily translate, you know, into the cartilage or other tissues. So I think that's one approach to something one could do on one's own. Estrogen and estrogen-like compounds do prevent osteoporosis in women undergoing menopause. These enzymes also decline with age. Mm-hmm. And so, I suppose if you don't age, you're not going to lose the enzymes. I'm not sure that estrogen therapy is the right thing for everybody at a certain point. I think there's quite a bit of data out there that suggests that for many people it's a problem. But at least in this particular setting, estrogen is promoting the release of adenosine, which acts as a further stimulus to bone production.
So I
think that's one approach.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was.
Well, it's hard since you make most of your own adenosine. It's hard to. And ATP, it's hard to think of dramatic ways to enhance that. You can, obviously, a good diet will give you enough that you can make ATP out of the sugars and fats that that are part of any good diet. And there are some agents, as you mentioned, potentially creatine, that that may enhance ATP and ultimately adenosine production. But I you know, as I said, I can't address those issues directly.
So we know that sleep improves with daytime activity. We know that sleep improves because adenosine accumulates and causes something called sleep pressure. And so people who don't move much, they sit all day long, they don't sleep as well. And, you know, we've all done this, right? I mean, you've got a – I can see beautiful trees behind you. I'm sure you have a beautiful backyard area. Maybe one afternoon of working in the yard and you go home and you have the best night's sleep you've had all week long after just kind of really being busy. And there's a lot of evidence that that is from adenosine accumulation causing greater sleep pressure that leads to a better night's sleep.
Right.
Is it possible that the fact that we sit – I sit at this chair for 5 hours a day doing this show, and then, you know, I sit on my motorcycle, and then I sit when I eat dinner. Is it possible that this is a problem, a disease of modernity, that we're not spinning off as much adenosine as we would if we were active all the time?
I think that's possible. It's hard to compare it to, you know, people living several thousand years ago, but I think that's possible. I think you know, a lot of people use a stand. My son uses a standing desk, so yeah. So that works.
I'm
for many
building
people.
A new studio, I think, and I'm going to have that.
You know,
I am building a new studio, so I'll have that.
But there are circadian, great. So there are changes in the levels of adenosine that are associated with time. And this probably goes awry when you travel. I guess when any of us travel by jet again, we'll find that some of those disorders are, that there's probably less accumulation of adenosine in the brain. And there's also a similar circadian rhythm to the expression of adenosine receptors in the brain that are involved in sleep. And one other thing that you might want to consider, one of the reasons that alcohol makes you so sleepy is that it causes excess ATP release and excess adenosine levels. So you don't want to do this too much, but that's probably what makes people so sleepy when they're drinking. When it wears off, you kind of have a rebound effect. So with the rebound effect, you're no longer as sensitive to adenosine. You've internalized those receptors in your cells. You're not producing as much ATP because your cells are kind of running out of it. And this is why people who drink too much have difficulty sleeping through the night, for example. They go to sleep very well, but they wake up and then can't go back to sleep.
Right.
So I think that's, it's a complex problem. I don't recommend people drink too much to keep their joints lubricated. That's probably not the best approach either.
What's the name of the enzyme that seems to increase the production of adenosine at the cell level?
So there are two. The numbers are easier. So it's CD39, which is ecto fire prime nucleotidase or dephosphorylase, and the other is 5 prime ecto 5 prime nucleotidase. And so the both of those enzymes are regulated, as I said, by estrogen. Their expression is regulated by estrogen. Right now, actually, people are targeting these enzymes for treatment of cancer because, as I mentioned, adenosine is anti-inflammatory. It acts as a natural brake on the immune system. And it's been shown in a number of studies and increasingly now in humans that if you can block adenosine A2A receptors, you can enhance the immune response to tumors, and, sure. and this can be useful in treating a variety of tumors. So people are actually making antibodies to ectofibrin nucleotidase that will prevent the actions and prevent the adenosine accumulation in tumors. And there are other small molecules that people are making as well, and those are still, they haven't come into humans yet. But those are working in the opposite direction.
What do you hope both lay people and clinicians take away from this research? What do you hope lay people and clinicians take away from your research?
So where we're going with this is we've started a company to develop intra-articular injections of adenosine or adenosine A2A receptor agonists in a long-acting form. That is, we're currently working on liposomes, but there are other ways to prolong the action of adenosine. The hope is that this can be used as a therapy in patients who have early osteoarthritis and thereby prevent the progression of the arthritis, as well as potentially, regenerating the cartilage and reversing the effects of osteoarthritis. I think that's kind of where we're taking it. We have a long way to go in terms of getting this into people. We've got to go through all of the FDA requirements. This should be easier with adenosine because, as you mentioned, it's already available as a drug to be given intravenously. It's also present in a variety of cosmetics to prevent aging of the skin and to treat aging of the skin. So adenosine itself is pretty non-toxic. You do get rid of it very quickly, and so we're hopeful that we can come up with something that is both non-toxic and effective, and we'll see as time goes by how effective it is.
I want to thank you for two things. I want to thank you for doing your interview from outside. It's very relaxing, and the wind chimes in the background, because the beginning of my show was very stressful. I had my first guest on from Israel, and she didn't show up until after the show started, and I was so wound up and stressed out, and I was just texting with my executive producer, and I said, I just recovered.
Right.
And she said, why? I said, because these beautiful wind chimes are playing in the background of Dr. Kronstein's video feed, and I'm listening to you, and I'm kind of being lulled into this relaxed state of mind, and the beautiful green trees behind you, and it just so I want to thank you for doing the interview from where you are. I also want to thank you for this research because I really think that there's a lot to this, and I think there probably are things that some of us can do to make sure that our bodies are producing the amount of adenosine that it should, instead of less, a little bit more. And that may have an effect on not only, as you pointed out, on the joints, knees and ankles and hips and all that sort of stuff, but quite possibly the country has a quiet epidemic of peripheral neuropathy. And when you try to put people in silos and go, well, these people are not diabetic and these people are not overweight. These people don't have sleep apnea, so it's not like something that's happening at night with sleep deprivation, oxygen deprivation. But everybody, when you look at the rate of peripheral neuropathy today, it cuts across every type of group you can think of and every subgroup, and it quite could possibly be. I've always suspected coffee, because the one thing that everybody does, and my parents drank coffee. It was probably 3 ounces, and you could see through it. It looked like rusty water. When you went to a diner back when I was a kid, my father was a truck driver. He'd take me on the truck. They drank coffee. It looked like rusty water, and it was small. You know, nowadays you drink a vat of coffee, the turbidity, and it's so dark that there's mud at the bottom of the cup, and people drink 5, 6, 7 cups a day. They're getting, you know, 1,200 milligrams of caffeine a day. And I keep thinking that a lot of the gut problems and the peripheral neuropathy are coming from everybody's lust for coffee today. And you just dropped the piece in my head. Like, maybe it's because it's suppressing the effectiveness of adenosine from stimulating these blood pathways to dilate, and they're just getting shrunken and shrunken and shrunken day after day until all the nerves just, because when you talk to people with peripheral neuropathy, it's just like when we were kids and you sat on your leg watching a good movie and the movie was over and you stood up and your leg didn't work. It was like, oh my God, you know, and then it slowly starts to come back. You get that tingling, you get that pain. That transition is like going through the effects of neuropathy. And I'm wondering if you're onto something there too, indirectly, because of your research.
May well be. Adenosine has been studied a lot by other people in terms of its effects on peripheral nerves, as well as mostly in the central nervous system. Again, that's the caffeine research came out of that. It's entirely possible that caffeine contributes to these neuropathies. Although, having said that, one of the other things that we did in the lab was we showed that the effects of the metabolic effects of alcohol on liver, for example, to make it fatty, are mediated at least in large part by adenosine acting at a somewhat different at a different receptor. And if you go back and look at the epidemiology, if you look at people, there was a huge series in the West Coast a few years ago. Similar things have been seen in Japan and other populations, that the more caffeine you ingest, or the more coffee you drink, let's put it that way, the more coffee you drink, the less likely you are to die of liver disease. So I don't know if you're substituting coffee for, you know, for Jim Beam or something, but there are a lot of things in that come into play there, but at least in my research, there's some evidence of effects on the liver as well.
Right.
So there were these receptors are everywhere. They do lots of different things, which some of which are beneficial in some settings, some of which are not beneficial, and you have to be able to target that.
Dr. Kronstein, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Okay, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Have a peaceful afternoon. Thank you. And that's it for today's show. I do have a show tomorrow. Tomorrow, as I said earlier, Ben Greenfield will be on. He will help me launch a new series. And the series is called Of Fathers and Sons. And I just want to start asking people questions about how they raise their boys. A lot of problems are being blamed on fathers and fatherless households, and just because the father lives in the household doesn't mean that he's contributing to a model for the boys. I want to hear who people I respect, like Ben, like Mark, who were the big influences on them as young boys that molded them into being the fathers that they are today. And I think that it's a very, very important and timely discussion. So that's tomorrow. Don't miss it. If you can tune in live, that'd be great, because you can ask Ben questions. I'm sure he'll answer them all directly. And so that's it. So share today's show. So I know that I got a lot of messages from people saying that it was very, very hard to understand Dr. Morgenstern, as Regina Martz put up. Wonder what she thinks about the CP protocol. I'm not sure what the CP protocol is. But vitamin D is one of those vitamins that you absolutely should test and not get too high and not get too low. If you're supplementing, if you're out in the sun, don't even worry about it. The body takes care of it itself. And when I reintroduce Primal D in a couple months, don't worry about it either, because it's going to work just like the sun. It is coming back. It's time to reintroduce it. But nonetheless, I know that she was hard to understand, but the takeaway is this. And I was already told that on our Instagram feed, we already have a COVID-19 warning that IG put up, you know, because anytime you talk about COVID-19, it's like, this hasn't been approved by Dr. Fauci. The research from multiple places that vitamin D is either protective against getting infected or stops you from getting severe symptoms from retroviruses, including SARS-CoV, including MERS, including HIV. It's been done for decades. We know this. So this idea that, we can't talk about vitamin D, that's not approved by Dr. Fauci or whoever the powers are that are making decisions on what we should be taking today. Don't even listen to them. Make sure you keep your vitamin D levels in that safe upper range. Work with your doctor to get tested. Try to get in that 40 to 80 range and just stay there. That's it. That's it. I don't believe that, once you're over 40, you're fine. No, you may be protected against some viruses, but there are other things that vitamin D does. And the reality is that if doctors were smart, the way they test for vitamin D levels in people is this. They would get your vitamin D levels up and check calcitonin levels coming from the parathyroid. Because when you're getting enough vitamin D, the parathyroid doesn't have to produce bone mineralizing hormones. And because the vitamin D is doing the job. So once your vitamin D level is this, and all of a sudden parathyroid drops to nothing, you can stop there. You can stop there. That is your personal magic zone for vitamin D. We know this, and doctors know this. If you tell this to a doctor, he'll go, that makes sense. But do you do it? No, I don't do it. So until people start checking how the parathyroid reacts to your personal vitamin D levels, we're just treating everybody the same. And we already know that that doesn't work. So there you go. All right, look, thanks for watching today. Thanks for listening live today. Please share the show. And also, if this show has done anything good for you, I'm asking you to go to this URL, and that is tap.bio/superhumanradio, all one word, and upload a short 60-second, no longer than 3 minutes, little self video of what you think about the show. If you like it, you don't like it, has the show helped you, you think I'm a jerk, put that up there too, because I'm hoping to get some of those. I'm sure there's a lot of people who don't like me. But please put that up there for me. Against the URL is tap.bio/superhumanradio. Just tape a short little your personal superhuman radio story. I'd really appreciate it. And we'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thank you for watching today.